This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Welcome, my co-creators. I hope you're having a wonderful day, no matter where you are, what's going on in your life. I know sometimes life can get a little crazy. Sometimes it can get a little tricky, but we're here to support you through that process and that journey. We have a wonderful show in store for you today with a great guest who I'll bring on in just a moment. But first, of course, we have my little blog post from a couple of years ago, and just continuing on in order. And today's blog post is entitled, "Sometimes We Have to Leave to Find What Is Right for Us." Sometimes it is hard to know what to do. When we are in a situation that does not serve us, yet to leave can cause us problems. We can feel paralyzed about what choice to make. If we stay, we will continue to have issues. When we go, we leave behind something. It might be people, money, or support. There is almost always some kind of loss. And there is the uncertainty. We are not sure if we are doing the right thing by leaving. Even though the person in charge might be abusive or erratic, other people might make excuses for them. They don't want to see us go, so they encourage us to stay. Yet deep inside, it just doesn't feel right. We see what we see, and we have experienced what we have experienced. In our bones, we know that it is not the right situation for us, yet the fear of loss may hold us back. Until we are ready, we may wait for the last straw that confirms it's too obvious to confirm it to us so obviously. It is time to go. We cannot stay any longer. The atmosphere has become untenable. Those who are truly our friends and care about us encourage and support us in the process. For once we make that decision and step out, we can breathe again. We can feel the spaciousness in our life again. And when we find the new situation that fits us better, we know we made the right decision. Sometimes we have to stick around long enough to do our own work and resolve whatever is unresolved within us. For if we do not let things go and own up to our side of the relationship, we will drag the same energy with us. Yet once we do resolve things internally, the external will surely change. The new place, the new opportunity, the new relationship will show up for us. It may take some time. It might not happen right away. Yet when it does, and we can feel the rightness of it, we will smile a deep smile. Our heart will lighten, and life will show us that we did make the right decision. For when we take care of ourselves, life takes care of us. So is there a situation that you've been thinking about leaving? Are you ready to step out into the unknown and see what life has waiting for you? So this actually is a very personal blog post. Because a couple of years ago when I wrote this, I was in the midst of leaving a mentor I had been working with for over 3 years, probably closer to 4 years. And the relationship with this particular mentor was very tenuous. It was good at times. It was not good at times. There was a lot of things I learned from him. There were a lot of things I didn't like about what I saw working with him. But other people worked with him, thought he was great. Said, oh, he's been in the work so long. He knows so much, can learn so much from him. He's a great guy. But I didn't have that experience. And when I first started working with him, there was literally like nobody else in this particular lineage that locally who I could find that I could work with. So I felt like, where could I go? I just had to tough it out and get through it and get to the point where I graduated, and then I didn't have to work with him as much anymore. And so I did. For 3.5 years, I toughed it out, even though I knew that it wasn't really the right situation for me. He really wasn't the right mentor for me. And, you know, maybe he's right for someone else, but just not for me. And then finally, that one incident happened that was the straw that broke the camel's back that said to me, like, no, I'm not putting up with this. This is not right. And I finally, you know, talked to the person in charge and said, I can't keep working with him. I need to work with someone else. And she was like, okay, who do you want to work with? And I was like, well, you know, I heard so-and-so just became a mentor recently. I'd like to work with him because I've known him for 10 years, or at the time it was probably 8 years. And so I switched. And when I switched and I went to the first meeting with him, my new mentor, it felt like coming home. It felt like after having such a difficult, trying relationship with my old mentor, that to be with someone where I really felt he was supportive of me, he was truly open-hearted, huge heart, and just the people around him were the kinds of people I loved. I knew I had made the right decision. It was not a single doubt in my mind. But it took me being ready to say goodbye, to overcome my fears. And I also had to do my own work. It was about standing up for myself and not letting someone else bully me. And I know this is true. I mean, this was sort of a mentor-mentee relationship, but this is true for all kinds of relationships. It's true for workplace relationships, career relationships, intimate relationships, partners, all kinds of things. Sometimes we just know, like, where we are and what's going on is just not right for us. But we don't know what we can do about it. We don't know where to go. You know, the unknown is scary. Oh, but if I leave, you know, what will happen here and there? And I see it all the time in people. And so I get it. I know it can be hard to make that choice to step out. But sometimes that stepping out, even if we don't know, especially when we don't know how things are going to work out, that's exactly what we need to do. That's the act of faith. And look, you can say faith in God if you believe in God, spirit, source, whatever you want to call it. I like to think of it as just faith in life. Faith in what the universe is bringing to us, and that maybe there's just that lesson that we need to stand up for ourselves and say, no, this isn't right. This doesn't work for me. I don't know where to go, but I know where I am right now is not the right place for me. So sometimes that's the scariest step to make, but once we make it, and suddenly we feel that peace inside and we know we've made the right decision to go, if it is the right decision, then things just kind of line up. And then even if it's not so easy, even if there's still difficulty, it just feels right. We can feel it in our body, in our bones, in our nervous system. Maybe we even sleep better at night once we've made that decision. It's not easy to make. Never is. Because whenever we leave any kind of situation, we're leaving something behind. We're leaving people behind, friends behind. You know, we could be leaving all kinds of different things behind. So it really takes a certain strength of character to say, I have to go. So let's not beat ourselves up if we're not ready to go yet. Let's not put ourselves down because it's taken us so long to go. Being a little gentle with ourselves will definitely support the process. And then once we do go and we do know it's the right thing, then celebrate it. Celebrate it like there's no tomorrow so that it encourages us to do the same thing in the future. So that's my blog post. It's entitled, Sometimes We Have to Leave to Find What Is Right for Us. You can find that blog at talkradio.nyc/blog. Or, of course, on my own personal site, theconsciousconsultant.com. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show business consultant and managing partner, Dr. Stephen Kirsch. After more than 25 years as a high-tech leader and executive, Dr. Kirsch now focuses his passion for people, process, and organizations to help entrepreneurs and CEOs take their businesses to the next level. Having honed his skills during his tenure at IBM and Intel, he developed his own business operating system for scale, BOSS, based on the Rockefeller habits and has implemented the system in more than 30 organizations. As a certified rhythm maker, he helps companies become world-class organizations with AI-driven key performance indicators and rhythm of implementation, allowing leaders to focus on what really matters to drive business improvements. In addition, he serves on the board of directors for the Gratitude Network, a leadership development organization which works with social entrepreneurs around the world to enable growth of those innovative companies that are engaging the lives of children and youth everywhere. Not only that, but Dr. Kirsch has a passion for music and sings in a world-class San Francisco-based a cappella chorus, the Fog City Singers. You know I'm going to ask you about that later. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Dr. Steve.
Thanks, Sam. It's good to be here.
A pleasure to have you here. Pleasure to meet you. So, of course, you know, I have to ask, you know, like 25 years in high tech, a big executive, you know, what made you decide that like you wanted to leave that situation and step out on your own and do something different? Because sometimes it's very easy to get comfortable in that kind of situation and just be with that for the rest of your life.
Oh, it is. And you know, I always had this dream, I guess, of retirement where I would travel and play golf all the time and you know, sing and ride my bike and just do whatever I wanted. But what I found during my tenure at Intel in particular, one of the things that Intel, I think, makes Intel special as a company is that they require all senior leaders to teach at least 3 classes a year.
Oh. Teach in a school or teach in the within the company?
We called it Intel University.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we would teach them internally. I mean, it's the way they perpetuate the culture. Mm-hmm. And early on in my tenure at Intel, I got introduced to the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes, great book.
And I took the class, and they were actually rolling it out to the entire organization of 1,500 people. And I just found it transformational.
Mm.
And when I found out they were rolling it out and they needed instructors, well, I put my hand up. I said, because I know the best way to learn something is to teach it. So I've actually been a certified facilitator of that material for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And I really enjoyed teaching that. And I got certified in a number of other things, really geeked out in productivity. I took seminars, workshops from David Allen, on getting things done, a number of other courses from the Franklin Covey Company. And I just really enjoyed it. And, you know, the retired life, what it really means is that I'm no longer required to work to put food on the table.
Right.
Right. But I wanted to stay engaged. I wanted to stay interacting with people at a very high and continue to develop as a person. And so I hung out a shingle as a productivity coach. What I discovered was that small business owners have absolutely no clue what their time is worth.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And so, you know, I got clients, but I got an awful lot of pushback because they couldn't figure out the ROI. What's the return on my investment? If I don't know the starting value and I don't know the ending value of what's going to happen during our interaction, they just couldn't get their head wrapped around it. Right. So I had to add other things along the way, got really invested in the Rockefeller Habits, the book Scaling Up, book Traction by Gino Wickman, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, into this system Catapult, which is where I'm a certified rhythm maker, which you talked about in my introduction.
Yes. Yes. All right. So we got to take a quick break, but I do, when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about the Rockefeller Habits because I'm not as familiar with that. And then I really want to learn more about rhythm making and what that is all about and how you use that to help people. Okay.
Sure.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I see loyal listener Patty listening and sharing. Thank you, Patty, as always. Always warms my heart to see you on the live streams each week. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Twitch. And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Stephen Kirsch, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Dr. Stephen Kirsch. So Dr. Kirsch, you mentioned one of the things that you learned about when you started being a productivity coach was the Rockefeller habits. Now, 7 habits of highly effective people, very familiar with the back, read it years ago. What are the Rockefeller habits?
So the Rockefeller habits come from John Rockefeller, the founder of Standard Oil 100 years ago or so. I mean, he ran a pretty successful company. And these were the principles that he had. There are 10 of them. I can't rattle them all off the way I can the 7 habits because I haven't been steeped in it. But in essence, I mean, we boiled them down within the Catapult system, boiled them down to really 7 areas of focus. It starts with the mission, of course. That's your why. And of course, Simon Sinek, a lot of people have talked about how important it is to understand your why, right? So what's your mission? What's your vision? Now, the vision is your impact. It's how does the world change? How does what's around you change? It's the vision of the transformation that you're doing. But it's not just for your clients or your customers. It's also the impact that you're going to have on your team.
Right.
And the impact you're going to have on your community and the larger world. Right.
Right.
So vision is about impact. Mm-hmm. And then values, right? Of course, values, that's your culture. And that needs to be more than just platitudes, right?
Right.
Integrity, right? Well, what does that mean? What does it look like? How can you see it? How do you know if somebody's living out of integrity? I was working with a company and they said it, I thought, beautifully. It's, you know, like Dr. Seuss, right? We say what we mean what we say.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And the actions follow the words. They're not just paying lip service to it. Like I know over the years I've seen greenwashing a lot where companies talk about or they try and promote themselves as being ecologically minded and conscious, but then you look at it and it's a toxic work environment. They're still using toxic stuff. They're not recycling. They're not doing all their stuff. So it's they're paying lip service to it, but then the action's not following the words.
Right. Yeah. So again, it starts with mission, vision, and values. There's a 3-year outcome, which is important. You know, Jim Collins talked about the BHAG, right? The big, hairy, audacious goal. But one of the interesting things I don't think people realize, he also said that most companies severely underestimate what they can do in 20 years. We just can't see that far into the future. These big companies, the good to great, all of this, right? They had a BHAG, but they had much larger impact, much quicker than they thought they could. Some people work with a 10-year, some people work with a 5-year. My feeling is, and my experience is that going further out than 3 years is just way too hard for our brains to get wrapped around.
And I think today more so than ever before, right?
Things change so fast.
Yeah.
But by putting that 3 years out there, you can imagine that there are some changes. You're not going to be exactly the same as you were. Right.
Right.
And so by putting out the 3-year vision, and saying, where do you want to be in 3 years? And an interesting thing about the way we work in the catapult system, which is different from either scaling up or EOS, the entrepreneurial operating system, which are the two earlier versions of the Rockefeller habits. We actually start with, where does the CEO want to be in 3 years? We don't start with the business. We start with you, the business owner, the manager, the head honcho, if you will. What do you want your life to be like in 3 years? Because so many small, medium-sized business owners and CEOs are in service to their company instead of the other way around.
Right. So
we start with, where do you want to be in 3 years? And okay, once we have that picture, what do you want your life to be like? Then we say, okay, what does the company need to be to support that life that you've just dreamed of?
So it sounds like you're taking a more holistic view based on the CEO and then sort of applying it down not the food chain, but applying it down. So it's like, where does the person want to be? And then based on where they want to be, then the business has to be a certain place. Their life has to be a certain place. So then you kind of apply it down the ladder.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Right. Got it.
And that actually is aligned with the first of the Rockefeller habits, which is that the leadership team must be healthy and aligned. And one of the drivers, one of the key drivers that we have in the Catapult platform is the you driver. And that's centered, you know, how is it that you want to have a healthy life?
Right.
And we're not talking about, just at work. Some of the KPIs that we suggest for the leader, and in fact, everybody in the organization has their own you driver, is how many weeks of vacation do you want to have per year? How many dates with your significant other should you have every month? How many hours of thinking time per week? How often are you working out? What's your healthy weight? How many days do you meditate if that's your thing? And nobody can see those KPIs except you, except the individual is, you know, I have to click a button to see them specially, right? Even I, as your coach, couldn't see them. It's purely private, and that's true for everybody across the organization.
Cool.
So that's, you know, the 3 year outcome. And by the way, one of the cool things that I've found in the, you know, 30 odd companies that I've taken through this system, we start with that 3 year outcome, and then we say, okay, well, if you want to be there in 3 years, where do you need to be in 2 years?
Right.
And then where do you need to be at the end of this year?
Right.
That gives you a very different picture of your 1 year strategic goals than saying, well, I'm going to start with where I am today and I'm going to get 10% bigger. Right. Because there are things that you need to do now, this quarter. If you don't do them now, you won't get to where you want to be in 3 years.
3 years, right.
So it paints a very different picture of the strategic plan.
Gotcha.
So that's the 3 year outcome. There need to be forward looking KPIs, key performance indicators. The forward looking KPI, there's a difference between that and an end goal. And I'm going to pick on CPAs for a moment.
Okay.
I have some clients that are CPAs, right? It's nothing against them, but the data that they provide you, the P&L, the profit and loss statement, and your balance sheet are backward looking, right? They tell you what happened in the last quarter or in the last month.
Right.
Right. They're not forward looking. So it's like driving down the road, looking in your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to have the KPIs that are forward looking. Now, some CPAs actually act like, I'll say, CFOs and do a cash flow projection. Right. And then you can see whether or not you're meeting your forward looking activities.
Right, right. Because cash flow actually is much, at least I've learned as a small business owner from over many small businesses, that cash flow is a much better indicator of the health of the company as opposed to your P&L or your balance sheet, because that's sort of fictitious numbers, whereas your cash flow is what's in the bank.
Yeah. And it's also historical numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you do a cash flow projection and then see how you're tracking to your cash flow projection, that's a much better way of managing, you know, the business.
Right.
Every salesperson who is worth his or her salt knows about key performance indicators, forward-looking KPIs.
Right.
You measure, yes, you do measure how many deals you close, but the thing that you track is how many calls you make.
Mm.
That's a forward-looking, that's something that I can do. And there are two attributes of forward-looking KPIs, of forward-looking indicators. They're predictive of the outcome that you want, and they're influenceable.
Mm.
Right? So if you do more of this, you will get more of the result you want. So you make more calls, you will get more sales. Right. And you have the ability to decide how many calls you make today. You have influence over, you don't have control, but you have influence over how many calls you make. So those are the two attributes of forward-looking KPIs.
Right. Absolutely.
So if you're keeping track, the sixth one is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Who's accountable for what? And I'm not talking about an org chart here. What I'm talking about here is a table of accountability. Who is responsible for operations? Who is responsible for marketing? Who is responsible for the finances? Who's responsible for HR personnel? Right? Who's responsible for all of these major functions in your company? Right? And then there's two other columns. So you have the column of responsibility of you know, the function and who, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's also the, how will you know if they're successful? What's the key metric
for
being successful?
What are you measuring their performance against?
Right. At the end of the day, right? The end of the year, the end of the quarter, the end of the year, whatever it is, right? So for example, with HR, for example, it's what fraction of the people that you wanted to keep stayed in the organization? What's your retention rate? Right. Mm-hmm. That's at the end of the day, that's what matters to HR.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's how you measure if the HR is successful.
Right.
What's the key performance? And then the other one is, what's the key performance indicator for that function?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in the case of HR, it would be employee engagement.
Right.
That's a leading indicator of retention.
Right. Which these days, from what I hear, it's getting harder and harder because workers are less and less engaged and less paying attention to what they do, because they don't feel that they're not really doing the job they want to do. They're more doing it because they need to pay their bills.
And this goes back to one of the specific Rockefeller habits, which is employee input is collected as frequently as financial data.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Cool.
You want to do, in fact, I was in a workshop. I was giving a presentation at a Vistage meeting, and the other person who was also making a presentation at Vistage was talking about net promoter score. Do you know what a net promoter score is?
No, that's a new one on me.
Okay, so a net promoter score is a really fabulous way of understanding the real commitment that your customers have, the loyalty that your customers have. You ask them one question, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend my company's service? I'm sure you've gotten surveys.
I've gotten tons of those. Yeah. Right?
The way this is scored, though, is kind of interesting. A 9 or a 10 on that scale is a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
6 or less is a minus one.
Mm-hmm.
7s and 8s don't count. They're considered neutral.
And
you take the arithmetic combination of the pluses and the minuses and then put that on a scale of minus 100 to plus 100. So gotcha. If everybody gives you a 5, right, then your net promoter score is minus 100 because they're net detractors. The 6 below, 6 and below is called a detractor.
Right.
The 9s and 10s are promoters because they're actively going to recommend you.
Right.
So if 100% of your people give you a 9 or a 10, right, then your net promoter score is plus 100.
Right. Okay. Right.
World class, according to, I think it's Bain, one of the big consulting companies, world class is having a net promoter score of 80 or more.
Wow.
Okay. And so what was happening in this, and that's, of course, a leading indicator of customer churn. That's one of the KPIs that we have in the system for understanding how likely are your customers to stay with you.
Right. Okay. Versus them being dissatisfied and going elsewhere. Right. All right. We need to take another break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about being a rhythm maker and what that really means.
That's the very next habit.
Awesome. And then I do want to talk about the Gratitude Network, because that sounds like a wonderful organization to me. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Stephen Kirsch, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Dr. Kirsch, you're a certified rhythm maker. What does that mean? Where does rhythm come into all this business talk?
Well, that's actually the seventh component of running a world-class company. And that's what we're talking about here, is the Rockefeller habits. If you adopt those Rockefeller habits, you will have a world-class company. And I'm not talking about the size of the company. I'm talking about how you operate.
Right.
And we've talked about, you know, the employees and how important that is. But the most critical factor for running and accelerating the growth of a world-class company is rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a weekly meeting where you cover what's going on in your business.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the Catapult system works, you get a set of KPIs. These KPIs mm-hmm. are defined by where you want to be in 3 years and what industry you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That, mm-hmm. The AI piece of Catapult is that difference that we use essentially a lookup table, if you will, but we've worked with M&A experts and business valuation specialists to understand what it is that makes a company world-class and mm-hmm. applying that across a broad array of industries. So the KPIs are defined. Where do you want to be? Like the NPS being at mm-hmm. 80, mm-hmm. right? Well, mm-hmm. most companies are not there.
Right, right.
In fact, the Gratitude Network, we're very proud of the fact that we're at 60, which is it's an excellent company.
Okay.
So you say, okay, what's the delta between where I am and where I want to be? And what do mm-hmm. I need to do this quarter? What are the projects that I need to mm-hmm. work on this quarter? I'm getting to the rhythm. Trust me. What are the projects I need to work on this quarter mm-hmm. in order to move the needle?
Right.
Okay. So
right.
every week you have the opportunity to sit down. The leadership team does this. And in fact, every team does this. You sit down and say, okay, what projects are on track versus behind, right? Or at risk, or in fact, we have a very special language associated with this.
Okay.
Which I'll talk about in a minute, but the idea here is you only need to talk about the stuff that's not on track. If it's on track, you're fine.
Okay. Right? Okay. Everything going smoothly, you can let it keep going, but where are the bumps right. in the road? That's right. what we need to talk about.
But sometimes it gets off track because of stuff that's outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens in the environment, you know,
mm-hmm.
a cargo ship runs into a bridge in Baltimore.
Bridge. Yeah.
To talk about something that's recent, right?
Yeah.
But or it could be a something within my control that I've been working on this project, and you know, I don't think we're aimed at exactly the right target. I mean, of course, that never happens, right? You know, when you start the quarter, you're going to do exactly what you have planned, and nothing is going to change. Mm-hmm. Well, no. Things come at you, say, oh, you know, right. I don't think we're really aimed at the right thing, or I don't think this is the right timeline or whatever, right? Sometimes it's just I need a simple help. But you mm-hmm. want to look at that stuff every week. You mm-hmm. want to look at your environment. You want to look and understand what's going on. You want to talk about the issues,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and what's really important, and I'm sure none of the listeners have ever had this problem. They get into a meeting. And somebody who is the most forceful personality in the meeting takes over and talks about the thing that's the pet peeve for that particular week, right? It takes up 75% of the time in the meeting. And the most important topic never gets covered.
Right.
One of the things that's special about the way we run meetings mm-hmm. is you list all of the issues. You list all of the projects that need to be talked about without talking about them.
Okay.
And once you get all of the issues on the list, then you go prioritize them and you take them in priority okay. order.
Right.
It's
right.
a beautiful system. Saves okay. so much time. Our CEOs report that they're saving between 2 and 3 hours a week minimum.
Wow. Wow.
So you have this rhythm every week. You have a rhythm every quarter where you do a quarterly business review. That's what some people call them, where it's mm-hmm. a strategic meeting. You reset what are the projects for this year, for this quarter, right? And then you do an annual thing. So that's the rhythm that's really important. And as a rhythm maker, I help CEOs and COOs really drive that into their company.
Right. Got it. Okay. Now that all makes sense.
So that's why we call ourselves rhythm makers.
Got it. So you're establishing a rhythm that really helps the company to review and grow and meet whatever that 3-year goal might be.
And accelerate through that. I mean, I'll give you an example. We had a CEO who one of his U drivers was, he wanted to spend a month. He'd bought a cabin up in northern Michigan somewhere. I think he was in okay. Michigan somewhere. He wanted to spend time, and he'd bought this cabin like 10 years before, and he'd never been able to go up there and really disconnect. He'd always on the phone. You know, he was only up there for a week. His family would go up there for a month, and he'd have to come back. And so his 3-year driver was, I want to be able to go up there for 4 weeks and not make a single phone call. Right.
Right.
Well, he realized that the biggest barrier that he had was his leadership team. One of the people on his leadership team was just not cutting it. Another person, they were the right person, but they just needed some training. Right. So he replaced the one, he upskilled another. And in 18 months, he was able to go up to his cabin. He made one phone call.
Wow.
To his rhythm maker, to his coach, to say thank you.
And that's one of the things I've learned. I mean, from E-Myth and from many business thought leaders in the past, was if you cannot take a vacation, you know, whatever length of time, and your business still run and grow without you, then you don't truly have a business. You have a job that you're paying yourself for, you know?
That's absolutely correct.
Right. And it to me, it's kind of fascinating that I always look at that from a small business perspective, but from a big business perspective, it's just as true, if not more so.
It absolutely is. And by the way, that goes back to the chart of accountability that we talked about.
Right?
Because very often when I work, the first time I work with a CEO or a small business owner, his or her name is in every box as accountable for everything. And that is not scalable.
Right.
If you're responsible for everything, you can't take a vacation and you don't have a business.
Right.
Because
exactly.
The business relies on you. It has no value.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. It's time. I can't believe it already. Time to take our last break of the show. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Gratitude Network and Fog City Singers.
Sounds great.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we'll be right back to wrap it all up with our guest, Dr. Stephen Kirsch, in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Steven, I've been waiting all show long to ask you about the Gratitude Network, because that sounds like something fascinating.
It's an amazing organization. I am so privileged to be a part of this. And I've been on the serving on the board now for seven years. I was founded by a really good friend of mine, who wanted to figure out how to give back. He's a 25-year venture capitalist angel funder here in the Valley, Silicon Valley, here in San Francisco area. And he realized that it was out of gratitude that he wanted to give back. And so what we do is we've set up essentially, it's a scale-up organization for social entrepreneurs. We provide folks who get a fellowship with the Gratitude Network with a year of executive coaching. And recently we've added the scale-up program, which I helped develop. Based on EOS and scaling up and now Catapult, for our fellows. It's extremely competitive. We had this year about 1500 applicants for our 40 slots.
Wow.
So they get all this stuff for free. Right? They get a year of executive coaching. Now, our coaches are amazing. They're all over the world. Our organizations are all over the world. The only stipulation is that we have these organizations have to be working with children and youth.
So
we narrow the focus to kids, right?
Gotcha.
But the organizations are amazing. About a third of them, maybe a little less now, come from the U.S. We started out, we were almost exclusively U.S.-based. But we've expanded now. We're very heavily in India, in sub-Saharan Africa. We also have, of course, all over Africa, all over Central and South America, but not as large, right? And I say about somewhere, maybe a quarter of our companies are in the U.S.
It's to support organizations that work with children and youth.
Correct.
Kind of organization that works with children?
Pretty much. Okay. It can be healthcare. It can be education. It can be children's rights. It really doesn't matter what you're doing to help kids. The thing that matters is that you have a business model that works, right? You've demonstrated that what you do, that you're effective, right? And that you want to grow. And we don't tell the companies, the owners, the I'll say the executive directors. These are all nonprofits, by the way. So we're working with social entrepreneurs. They're doing nonprofits. They call them different things in other countries, but 501c3, right? Here in the States. But they're doing things to help kids, and we don't tell them that their scaling has to be in terms of the number of kids, although that's typically the metric. And our data says that within 3 years, the average company triples the number of kids that they work with after they go through the fellowship. But they get leadership development, and they get they develop a scale up plan, right?
Got it.
So that's the thing, right? It's do they want to grow, and are they helping kids?
Got it. And who are the coaches or the executive coaches who are volunteering? Like, how do they come to the organization?
It started out with friends of Randy Hagen, the founder, right? Because he'd been a venture capitalist for so long, he knew lots of people in the coaching community. Has been an executive coach himself. And it started out that way. When I first got involved, we had 7 companies that we were coaching. Right. So it wasn't that big. Now it's 40 each cohort. We've done over 200 now in the last 7 years.
Wow.
I'll just tell a couple of stories. We had one organization that was doing infotainment in Tanzania. Think Sesame Street, right? So this is TV for kids that's you know, intended to be educational.
Educational.
Right? And they wanted to move from Tanzania to Uganda and Kenya.
Right.
So that was the way they scaled.
Right.
Right. And so they got help from their coach. What are the kinds of questions? What are the kinds of things they needed to worry about? Mm. Another organization based in Oakland was helping underperforming schools by putting extra resources in for the teachers. And sort of, I'll say consultants, but teacher resources. They had been in existence for 25 years, but basically only in Oakland.
Got it.
A slight change in their business model. Within 18 months, they were tripled in size. They were in the state of Nevada. They were in Philadelphia. They were talking to schools in New York. And 3 years later, they got a $12.5 million grant from the Gates Foundation.
Wow.
That's the kind of impact that we have.
So are the organizations that you're helping, are they of a certain size? Are they small? Are they big, medium size? They have to meet a certain minimum requirement?
There is not. And you know, it's kind of interesting that the difference in, you know, working with an organization that's in, you know, Uganda or you know, sub-Saharan Africa, because, you know, they might have a $75,000 or $100,000 annual budget and have 20 people working for them full time. Right. Whereas in the States, in order to have 20 people, you'd have to be a several million dollar organization.
Right.
Again, the main thing, and sometimes, you know, there's a handful of people, right? The Gratitude Network itself, we only have like a staff of five. It's a tiny organization, but we leverage, we have 40 or 50 coaches around the world. You know, coaches introduce us to coaches once they have a fabulous experience, right?
Yeah.
And our NPS shows that.
Yeah.
That we get introduced to coaches. We have coaches all over the world, in India, in Central America, in South Africa, in Uganda. I know of several coaches, and of course in Europe and the States.
Wonderful. I have a friend who has a company. It's like a tech company, but it's for children. It's helping parents track children when they get released from school, so that kids don't disappear. I have to tell her about this network. She'd probably want to apply.
Yeah, if it's a nonprofit, that'd be great.
Oh, I don't know if it's a nonprofit. No, I'll find out. And I also know someone else who has working on a nonprofit to help with sex trafficking. Children are often caught up in that. So I have a few people I have to share this with.
That'd be great.
We only have a couple of minutes. So if someone wants to find out about the Gratitude Network or about yourself and working with you, I guess Profit Minds is the name of your company. How do they find you? Where do they find you? What's your website?
Yeah. So profitminds.net is the website for my company. Of course, I'm on LinkedIn. Then the Gratitude Network is gratitude-network.org. And if people like, I have to throw this in there, if people like men's a cappella singing.
Well, I was just about to ask you about that. I was leaving that for last.
Okay.
But yes, go ahead. Tell them.
Yeah. So go to YouTube, look for Fog City Singers. We're out of San Francisco. We're officially a chapter in the Barbershop Harmony Society in the top 10 in the world. We compete in July in Cleveland for, you know, again, at the international competition. But we do lots more kinds of a cappella. The concert we have coming up next week, we'll be doing stuff from the 17th century all the way through stuff that's been commissioned for us.
Oh, wow. Cool. How did you get involved with that?
I've been a singer all my life. My dad was a singer. I can't remember a time I didn't sing. I've always done it at a pretty high level. So this was a great way to get involved. I also do local theater stuff, musical theater, sing in my church choir.
Do you want to leave us with a little ditty?
Probably, yeah. Music. It's okay. I'll do a little thing. My favorite musical, Man of La Mancha.
Okay.
Hear me now, O thou bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be. But a knight with his banner so bravely unfurled now hurls down his gauntlet to thee. I am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild wind of fortune shall carry me onward, oh, whithersoever they blow, whithersoever they blow. Onward to glory I go.
Hey, all right. Thank you for being such a good sport, Dr. Kirch. I appreciate it. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really appreciate your time. Again, if you want to find out more about Dr. Stephen Kirch, please go to profitminds.net. And if you want to learn more about the Gratitude Network, it's gratitude-network.org. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirch.
Thank you, Sam. Really appreciate the time. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Pleasure as well. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, especially Patty. I see you still on the live stream. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Without you, there is no show. And don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and on all the major podcasting platforms. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branco, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.